don't know what it is. My brother always seems to ask me to preach when we're halfway done the book or towards the end of the book. I think it's because he knows my ADHD. I'll never finish the book unless we're halfway through. I think he plans it that way. But I hope that this book has been challenging you if you've been reading it. If you haven't, you need to get a copy of it and start reading it, because I will tell you, just in the couple chapters that I've read, it amazes me how simple he writes the pages. You know, it's only a few pages per chapter, which is great for me because I feel like I'm getting somewhere in it. But every time that I'm reading a page, it's like I have one of those wow or aha moments. You know, even though I've heard the stories, even though I've heard those scriptures before, the way that he writes them or the way that he talks about them changes my perception of how I've heard them in churches my whole life. And so sometimes I wonder, I realize, church, that we're busy people. I realize that. But sometimes I wonder if we really are as busy as we think we are, or if we just make ourselves feel busy because it makes us feel good about what we're doing. Even though it can be stressful. I mean it this way, and I've seen it in my own life. I'm guilty of this. You know, I'll have my phone on me. My brother was teasing me as we're driving down. I don't have my phone on me now because I lost it in Busch Gardens, so nobody can reach me, which has been kind of nice. But my phone just kept ringing all the way down. My brother's like, wow, what are you doing? You really working that hard? And sometimes I think that I really like to look like I'm busy because I like to feel that I'm important. People need to reach me. You know what I mean? And so are we really that busy that we can't spend time with the Lord? Or are we doing things just to kind of, we're putting things before him that really don't need to be before him? You know, I feel like sometimes we're so busy doing things that sometimes we forget to make time for the most important being, God. We wonder why things aren't working out, why we're so stressed at work, why things are falling all apart around us, and yet where is God in all of this? But before we start throwing blame on God, there are three things that Dutch Sheets talk about in these chapters that we should check first in our own lives. The first one is your position. Now listen, Ash and I have three children. When we first had our children, I had this in my mindset. I was going to be the greatest dad there was. There was no dad that was going to be better than me. Every time one of those kids cried, I was going to get up so my wife didn't have to move out of bed, man. You know, I was going to be the first one there to help her out. Let me tell you, dads, if you have children, you know where I'm going with this. It lasted less than a week. Okay? There were times that I didn't move, and my wife was still kicking me. Get up, it's your turn. No idea that I didn't even hear them crying. Once I was asleep, I heard nothing. Yet I think my wife, on the other hand, heard them turn over in their bed before they even started to make a noise. You see, she doesn't have super bionic hearing. No, what was it? She was tuned into their sounds while I was tuned out. Even today, my kids tend to sneak up on me to ask me if they can get into our bed. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but there is nothing more frightening than you get this feeling of something is staring at me while you're sleeping. And you wake up, and all of a sudden, over the bed are these two eyes peeking at you. And you can't do anything but kind of get scared, you know, frightened. And here's this cute voice, Daddy, can I get in bed with you? And of course you can't say no, but now I'm not going back to sleep because my heart's beating 1,000 miles a minute. So yeah, they climb in bed with us. Even still today, they can sneak up on me like that. Proverbs 4:20-22 says this. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. The pay attention in that verse, in verse 20, it comes from the Hebrew word keshab, which means to prick up an ear like an animal in alertness. It is amazing to me, Ash and I, as we were driving down off the turnpike, you know, we're coming off onto 206 off the turnpike. We're driving down. It is amazing to me to see the difference between Maine deer and New Jersey deer. There's a difference. As we're driving by, every 10 feet, my wife's like, oh, a deer, oh, a deer, oh, a deer. The funny thing is that as we drove by them, they didn't even stop eating the grass to stare up at us. They just kept going about their business. In Maine, you have to watch out for every deer, because as soon as they hear the sound of your car, their ear pricks up. They become frightened to the point where they may jump out in front of you. My wife was driving the other day during a lightning storm. No lie, lightning hit and a deer ran out in front of her, because they're so attuned to the sound. See, the difference is this. In Maine, the deer don't see the number of cars that the New Jersey deer see. The Jersey deer are used, it's true. I mean, you can drive on my road and you see three cars on my road, man. We live in the sticks. The Jersey deer get so used to the sound and the lights to the point where it no longer affects their day. I wonder how many of us treat God that same way. We've become so used to his blessings, we've become so used to his voice and how he speaks to us, that we hardly hear it through the activity of our day any longer. We become busy doing the mundane, we become so busy doing the mundane that we forget to include the mighty one. As Christians, and especially as pastors, it's easy for us to get so caught up in doing the ministry that we forget to listen to the one who has called us into that ministry. It is easy to do because we love to be busy. We are told in the second part of verse 20 that we need to listen carefully. The King James Version says, incline your ear. The incline in that scripture comes from the word nada, and it means to stretch towards. What are we stretching towards? It's to stretch towards, to hear. You know, my dad, my mom's getting to that point now that, man, you talk to them. When you used to talk to them, they couldn't hear a word you were saying. I mean, she has to turn down the TV. She has to stretch to kind of hear you. That's what it's talking about. I love you, Mom. If you need to stretch towards me, Mom, you can stretch towards me. She's like, I'm not taking you out to eat today. You're starving. But what are we stretching towards? Are we stretching ourselves to hear the voice of God, or are we stretching ourselves to hear the voice of the world? You see, the voice of the world is always going to tell you, you can't be satisfied, you need more, there's not enough, you can't have enough, you need what your neighbor has, you need what that person has. While God will always tell you that he is all that you need and nothing else will satisfy. We need to position ourselves in a way where we can hear his voice. That's the first point, is position yourself. It's like this. Right now in this room, there are all kinds of radio waves flying around. You can't hear them. You can't hear the music. It's flying through you. But if I was to bring in a radio today and I was to turn on that radio and I was to tune to a certain channel, all of a sudden those waves are going to come together and you'll hear what those waves are doing. Same thing as television. Right now, there is TV waves flowing through this building, but you can't see them. You can't see the images. However, if I was to bring a TV in, I was to turn it on, I was attuned to a certain channel, you may be able to see a picture. That's how it is with God. God is always speaking, but if you're not willing to tune into what he's saying, if you're not willing to turn on and turn off all the other distractions, all the other sounds, guess what? You're missing it. You're missing what he's trying to tell you. I love the point that Brother Sheets makes in the book a few chapters ago, and I know I'm not speaking on this chapter, but he took a bunch of chapters to speak about Mary and Martha. He made the point that Jesus really liked this family. For whatever reason, he really liked Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. I don't know if it was because they believed in him, they trusted him, I don't know what it was, but he really liked them. And I never thought about it before, but he probably had stayed in their homes many nights teaching. Martha was so busy. Could it have been because she became so used to hearing Jesus' teachings and his voice that it no longer excited her or penetrated her heart? The long-awaited Messiah was in her home speaking to her directly, but she was too busy doing the dishes and cooking to hear what he was saying. I heard that story a million times and never thought of it in that way. Now listen, it's easy to get on a case. I love how, like, we'll read a story in the Bible and we'll be like, dude, they are so dumb. How could they let that happen? You know, and it's so easy to get on her case and say, man, the Messiah was right there in her house. You know, how could she not listen to the words he was saying? And yet, listen, church, we know the truth is that when we ask Christ into our heart, where does he live? He lives in our lives. That means, guess what? He goes everywhere we go. He speaks to us. He's in our homes. He's in our workplaces. He's in our cars. He's speaking to us daily. Yet, have we become too accustomed to his voice that we no longer get excited to spend time and to listen to what he is saying? We need to position ourselves to hear him. The second thing today is, not only do you need to position yourself, but you need to be present. Your presence is important. Obviously, if you read this chapter, this guy starts out this chapter by saying that he loves football. I am with this guy all the way, man. He's like, I love football. And then he starts talking about the Cowboys. I'm like, I really love this guy. And then he starts talking about a different team. Listen, honestly, we can't all be perfect. It's okay. I just lost half the church there. All the Eagles fans are like, phew. The truth is this, and my wife will tell you this, football season can very easily run my life. It already has started. I was up to 1 last night watching the Cowboys play. It's already started running my life. And it's preseason. It doesn't even matter. Listen, I do multiple fantasy football leagues. I'll check NFL news hourly. I'll make sure I can watch all the Cowboys games. I'll set things aside to make sure I get things done so I can watch the games. I'll listen to Cowboy radio through the week because I'm wanting to hear what's happening. It's pretty crazy how diehard of a fan I've become over the years. And it's amazing to me, this never fails. It always seems like I'll make time to watch the game. Nobody the entire day will need my attention. Nobody will need me. As soon as that game starts, my wife will sit down and she'll want to have a serious life-changing conversation. You know, she wants to talk to me about, are we doing this? What's going to happen next? As soon as the game starts. As soon as the game starts, my kids are coming. Daddy, will you play this game with me? Daddy, will you watch this with me? Dad, check out what's happening on this tablet. Dude, man, you guys couldn't have came to me hours ago? And so what I'm doing is now the game that I plan to watch, I'm now splitting my attention to that, to my kids, to my wife. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. I'll be answering my wife, and suddenly I'll feel those eyes staring at me. And I'll look over, just like she's staring at me now, and I will know that she has said something really important that I missed, or she knows without a shadow of a doubt that I am not paying attention to her. My uh-huhs, my shaking my head, my yeses, she knows that I'm not listening to a word she said. And she is asking for my full attention. Listen, church, God knows your likes, your dislikes. He knows what you like for entertainment. He knows you work. He knows you need to eat. He knows you need to sleep. But yet he still wants some undistracted time from you. I will be honest with you. You know when I do my devotion? When I'm riding in the car to work. I have my Bible app on. I'm listening to it. I'm praying. But listen, I'm still distracted. I'm still not getting the full effect of that devotional time with God that I should be having. Why? Because I'm watching other people driving. Hopefully I'm paying attention to what I'm doing. But I'm not getting that full effect of spending time with God. One of the things I loved about Dutch Sheets that he said was even Jesus had certain parts where he would go to pray. He had a special place. And he challenges in one of his chapters and says, listen, find that special place. Find a place where you're not going to be distracted. Find a place where that phone isn't going to ring. Find a place where the kids aren't going to come in. You know, find a time, whatever it is. But find a place that's special between you and God. In 1 Corinthians 7:35, we see this. We say, the Bible says, I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. As Paul is writing this, he uses the word, and I'm sure I'm going to slaughter this word, but euprosedros, meaning to sit forward or to sit toward. Another way that we would say it today is this, to sit on the edge of your seat. Have you ever heard that saying? Listen, if you come to my house during a Cowboys game, you better believe I'm probably sitting on the edge of my seat. I'm probably screaming at the table. I'm screaming at the table. I'm probably screaming at the TV. I'm not throwing things because I don't get that bad. But I do get that bad. I don't think I do. Ask your wife. She'll tell you what you really look like. She does have a video of me during the playoff game last year where it looks like I'm crying. I promise you I'm not. But I was definitely on the floor pretty upset. Was not crying. But when something has our full attention, whether it's a movie, a person, an event, we are sitting on the edge of our seat. And guess what? We are listening to every word, aren't we? We're watching every single thing that's happening because we're caught into it. When I first met Ashley in Bible college, we spent every study hall together. Now listen, when we first started out, the school was really strict. And before you even started, they would make you take study hall. Didn't matter what your grades were, you had to go to study hall every night. And so we would sit in study hall, and of course we would do schoolwork, right? I don't think I ever did any schoolwork in that study hall. Never. I'm pretty sure sitting in that library, nothing ever got completed. But I would sit with Ash, and I would just learn about her. We would talk about our dreams, we talk about our friends, we talk about family, whatever happened that day. We talk about our life and growing up, our hardships, and so many other things. Now listen, church, we weren't dating at that time. We had just became very close friends, and we spent every night in the library like that together. I love those moments. I love those moments. They were heartfelt conversations without any real distractions. Like I said, we probably should have been doing our schoolwork, but that wasn't my focus. In Bible college, I met a girl and I played ping pong, and I was a really good ping pong player. That was probably my distractions right there. But we loved each other's company, and we were not even dating yet. We honestly were just building a tight friendship. That is the type of undistracted relationship that God is looking for. He wants our full attention. You know, it amazes me, church, and I think COVID really, really showed us this, but there are so many ways for people to keep in contact. You know, you think of Facebook, you got Zoom, you got Google Meetings, you got Twitter, there's so many different ways that we could communicate with people. You know, even, I think even COVID, a good thing that came out of COVID was it challenged churches to find ways to go out and to minister to people outside of the four walls. It challenged churches. It really did. As a pastor, we were trying to come up with ways to still get the message out, even though the church doors weren't open. And so what amazes me is in so many ways we can text, we can call, we can see the person on the other line. And yet if you study Americans, they will tell you that they are the most lonely people. Even though we have more ways to talk to people than the history of mankind, we are not actually listening or connecting with them. God doesn't just want to see your face twice a week in church or once a week in church. He doesn't want you to just come sit in a seat and call it good because you were here for an hour. No, he wants to see it daily. He wants to look into your eyes with you being undistracted and totally focused on his time with him. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to those circumstances that are hurting you, those things that have happened to you. He wants to share with you what's going on and why he's allowing those things to happen. He wants to share what you can take from those things. But if you're so distracted, you're missing the point, and now the focus isn't on God. What's the focus on? The problems, the situations, the circumstances, that job, that stress. I love the story that Dutch Sheets shares in this book about a man who lost an expensive watch. And if you're not reading the book, and if you already read the book, whatever, I'm going to share it with you today anyway. They used to have what they called, and I'm going to forget the word of it, I have it in here, the ice house. That's how they refrigerated food. So what they would do is they would have this big house, room, they would have it all insulated. They'd get ice from down at the lake or the river or whatever, put it in the floor, and then they'd put hay over top of it. And that's how they kept things cold. Well, the story that Dutch Sheets tells is that this man was in there, And for whatever reason, his expensive watch fell and it got buried in the hay. And him and a bunch of other people looked for it for hours and could not find it. They couldn't find it no matter how hard they looked. And so the story goes on that this little boy crawls into the ice house. He shuts the door. Comes out a few minutes later with the watch. Everybody amazed at him and fascinated by how this kid did something that nobody else could do. Said, "How did you do it? What did you do?" He said, "I shut the door so that all the distractions and all the other sound was out of the way. And I laid my head down on the hay and simply listened for the ticking of the watch." Church, are you listening to the ticking sound of what God is trying to speak? That soft, still voice that is trying to reach out, that is trying to speak to you. If you have all the other distractions, you're going to miss it. You're not going to be able to hear it. So we need to position ourselves to hear. We need to be present to hear. And the final thing is your passion. Your passion. I wish I could tell you that I still sit and talk to Ashley undistracted like we did those first few months that we met in Bible college. However, that would be a lie. My wife would be the first one to tell you that. I need to work at it. I have to choose to make her my priority and to put aside all the other distractions. You see, many times you'll hear people going through a divorce, and what do they say? We fell out of love, or what? We lost that passion, right? Maybe I'm the only one that hears that, but I'm pretty sure that that's the number thing that a pastor hears when a couple comes to you. I wonder how many of us, if we were honest today, would say that we have lost our first love or our passion for God. Listen, love is a choice, not a feeling. I choose to love my wife even when I don't feel like it. Or even when I don't want to. And sometimes, guess what? There's those times. I choose to love my kids, even when I'm so angry at them that I want to throw them out of the car. All right? My brother traveled with me for a couple days with my kids. He understands. I got a little girl and a little boy, and all I hear in the back, "Stop poking me. No, I'll punch you." You know, it's like, "Oh my gosh, kids, I'm going to throw you out the car. Stop." But I still love them. It doesn't change my love for them. It's a choice. I must choose to put down work or my Dallas Cowboys game to go play Pretty Pretty Princess with my daughter. Let me tell you, if you ever played that game, it's not pretty having all the little earrings and necklaces, but she loves it. And I make sure that I win, even if I have to cheat, because I want to be the prettiest. I need to choose to put down my video games to play an imaginary game with Isaiah that he just made up. My son loves to make up games. He's downstairs, right? I hate playing these games with him. Because no matter what you do, you can't win. The kid changes the rules so that he wins every time. I don't understand the game. I don't understand the rules. I don't understand what he's trying to do. But if you don't pay attention and play with him, man, he's going to make sure he gets your attention. And so I have to put aside things. I've tried to kind of play with him and still pay attention. You can't do it. I got to give him 100%. I need to put aside time to listen to Owen tell me all about his day in his Owenese. That's the language we call Owen that he speaks, because I only understand about 10 words that the kid says in an hour. He speaks Owenese. But I gotta sit there and I gotta listen to every single word that he says to try to pick out. I can't be distracted. Owen's one of those kids. My other kids, they kind of just walk away. Owen won't do that. He'll punch you, you know, or he'll come over and he'll grab your face. Because he wants to have your attention. He wants to have that one-on-one. Passion and spending time is a choice. Listen, church, we put what is important to us first, don't we? Let me ask you a question today. What was the first thing that you thought about when you woke up this morning? What was the first thing? What was it? I caught it. I heard it said that whatever the first thing is that you think about when you wake up will be the thing that consumes your entire day. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 is a famous scripture. One that as a kid growing up in church, I learned, I remembered, even at an early age, and I heard it so many times in sermons. Again, in his book, Brother Sheets does an excellent job at bringing this passage to light. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and what? He shall direct your path. Acknowledge in that scripture comes from the Hebrew word yada, and it means to know someone intimately, like a man knowing a woman or a woman knowing a man intimately, as if between husband and wife. Now, church, listen, I will be honest with you. Whenever somebody talks about knowing God intimately, I struggle with that thought. Now, listen, this is true, and I don't care how you say it. We all come to Christianity with different prejudices that we've grown up with. You know, we see God a certain way. So an example of this is if you had a bad childhood, your dad wasn't a great father figure, it's very hard to see God as a loving father when you've never seen that. You know, so we come into Christianity with the thought process of, okay, so how can God be a loving father? And we come with these prejudices. We prejudge things all the time because of different things that have happened to us and different things. I struggle with it because in my mind, I'll be honest with you, I look at God as a man. And so it's hard for me to think of being intimate with God the same way that I'm intimate with my wife. That's hard for me. I struggle with that mindset. And I know that God's a being. He's not man or woman, but that's the way that I see it. And so it's hard for my mind to get around it. Again, Dutch does a wonderful job explaining this. Just as a man and woman knowing each other intimately can lead to conception of a child, knowing God intimately can lead to spiritual conception. Now listen, don't get all upset. I'm not talking about Mary like having a baby Jesus. You're not going to have a baby Jesus, okay? But seeds of truth in our heart that grow. Instead of telling God's about our visions, our dreams, our plans, what we want to do with our lives, we begin to grasp his visions, his dreams, his plans and purposes for our life. And we're able to start living them out. Listen, my brother would be the first one to tell you, and I didn't even have this in my sermon, when he was called into ministry, and I'm sure you've shared this many times with church, he ran from what God was calling him to do. And in a matter of, what, 2 years? How many jobs did you have? 17 jobs in 2 years. Because your plans, your purposes, are never going to satisfy you the way that God's plans and purposes will satisfy you. If God is speaking something to your life, you better be obedient. Because if you run from it, guess what? You're never going to be satisfied. And now you've been in ministry how many years? 34. So you should just listen, man. You got a lot of training experience, though. You can do anything. Again, I struggle with grasping the intimate with God the same way as man and woman is intimate. Listen, I know that it's not talking about sex, okay? But that's where my mind goes when you use the word intimate. Because it's what our culture has built into us. It's what our culture has made being intimate about. While it's not talking about sex, it's more about becoming one. Dutch goes as far to say this: God is not into surrogate parenting. God doesn't want someone else to carry his revelation for you. He wants to speak directly into your life. Just like he breathed living breath into Adam, he wants to breathe that same living breath into you. He also isn't into artificial insemination, placing his life-giving message into you without having an intimate relationship with you. Listen, conferences, books, CDs, listening to your pastor every Sunday, sermons, YouTube sermons, those are all great things. Those are great tools that God can use to speak to our hearts. But they should not take the place of spending with time with God personally and letting him speak to you personally. I can remember as a kid going to churches, and I don't think it was because my dad chased these things. I think it's just because dad has in church every time the door was open. And if this church wasn't open, then we would go find another church. If we were on vacation, he'd find another church. But I can remember as a kid going to churches where we had prophetic speakers. I know it happened here in this church. And I know there were some other churches that we went to where dad would take us and we would listen to these guys speak. I can tell you honestly, church, I don't remember a word that they said in their message. I don't remember a word. But I can remember that as the end of the service would come and God was moving in the service and he'd begin to prophesy, that speaker would begin to prophesy over people, I can remember trying to put myself in a place where he would see me. Because I wanted to hear what God had to say to me. I wanted to be called out in front of people, and maybe I wanted the attention, I don't know. My brother would tell you as the baby that I always want all the attention, but that's not true. It may be a little true. I don't know what it was. I wanted to hear God speak, and I wanted somebody to speak over my life. And there was times that, yes, God spoke, used people, but there was many times that I'd watch him speak over other people, and I felt like I was missed out on. It's not a terrible thing to let others speak into your lives, but if the only time you're hearing from God is on a Sunday, online, or at a special service, you are missing what God wants to do in your life. The other problem is this, and this is true. We begin, when you hear somebody else's revelation, we begin to live out that other person's revelation of God rather than the revelation that God wants to show us of himself. Dutch goes on in his book to say, if we're not careful, we can even become pregnant on the other person's revelations. I will tell you as a pastor, I have seen this multiple times. You go to a big conference, you go to, and they bring in these speakers, and they never bring in speakers. We always complain about this in the Assemblies of God because most of our churches in Maine are 100 or less. You know, and so what they'll do is they'll bring in a speaker of a church that has 50,000 people in it. You know, and so what the speaker will do is, I mean, they're great, but they'll bring their ideologies, they'll bring their thoughts and their things that have worked for them, which is great. But it doesn't work in New England. And so what happens is pastors get excited about what's happened. Oh, man, that worked for him. It's going to work for me. And all of a sudden, we can birth something that God never intended that body of believers to birth. And what happens? It fails miserably. As a pastor, as a youth pastor, I've done it. You know, I've seen stuff that's worked for other youth pastors. I'm like, this is going to work. Let's do it. And guess what? It was a horrible thing because I didn't listen to what God wanted to reveal to me instead. I listened to what somebody else was doing and what worked for somebody else. Listen, God is not a cookie cutter God. What he does for you or how he works for you does not mean that that's how he's going to work for you. It doesn't mean that he's going to speak to you the same way. You may hear an audible voice where somebody else may be standing at a lake, you know, and see a bird fly down and all of a sudden God speaks into their heart something there. He doesn't work the same way for each person. In one of the stories Dutch shares, that God leads him and his church to stop services and to do a 24/7 hour worship. I think it was for like 3 months or something like that. He made it so that people could come to church at any time of the day and enter into worship. Now listen, worship is my heart. I'd rather be singing than preaching any day. I am a worship leader at heart. And as a worship leader at heart, man, that is a great idea. However, I can't even grasp the difficulties that would come alongside of that. You know, as a worship leader, I'm like, yep, that's a great idea. Let's do it. But think about it. How do you have enough worship teams or get enough people committed enough to keep playing music throughout the night? You know, and if you don't use worship teams and you use music, who's going to stay throughout the night to make sure that that music keeps playing? There's been so many times in my church that I've had somebody play music, and what happens? YouTube commercials come on, or, you know, like this morning, other stuff happens, you know? And so who's going to stay throughout the day and take care of that? Who's got enough time to do that? And so I start thinking about these things. While it's such a great idea, guess what? God hasn't spoke to me to do that in my church. It worked for them, and it was great for them, but that's not what God's speaking to me. We want to believe that God deals with people individually and where they are at, but we don't want to take the time to let God speak to us individually. Did you catch that today, church? We want to believe that God speaks. You know, God speaks to you differently than he speaks to you. He's going to reach to you where you're at. You know, maybe I'm a little further in my Christian walk than you, so he's going to deal with you differently than he does with me. You know, we want to believe that, but yet we don't want to take the time to let him speak directly into our hearts. We can't make enough time. In closing today, I want to look at one more scripture. Philippians 3, 7 through 8, and verse 10. It says, but what things were, and this is Paul, he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered and loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Paul uses the same Greek word for knowing that was used by Mary when speaking to the angel about being pregnant with Jesus. The word is genosko. It's the same word that Mary said, you know, how can I be pregnant? I've never known a man. So again, that word there used is like the word yada. It's a relationship knowledge. It's an intimate knowledge. Paul was saying that he had forsaken all other lovers, everything else in this world, to know Christ more intimately. Now listen, this is something you need to realize. By this time in the life of Paul, he had already been taken to heaven, and he had saw God in person. He saw God face to face. Okay, he had saw who God was. And yet what? He wanted to know God even more. He wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied. You know why most marriages end with the other spouse cheating on the other? We lose passion, we stop pursuing each other, and it becomes easy to begin pursuing someone else. The same can be said about Christ. You watch somebody who God radically changes their life. They come to the Lord, they get saved. What happens with that person? They're excited. Let me tell you, there's some of those people that have came to Christ because I grew up in church. You know, when I was 5, I gave my heart to the Lord. But there's some of those people that come later on in life and they read through the Bible more in 2 weeks than I have probably my whole life because they can't get enough of it. They can't get enough being in church. They're the first ones in and the last ones leave. Why? Because they can't get enough of what God is doing in their life, enough of God's presence. Sadly, what happens, and this happens to everybody, what happens? We begin to lose that zeal. We begin to kind of lose that fire. And instead of pursuing after Christ like that, we begin to pursue after other things. If we are honest with ourselves today, many of us have probably stopped pursuing God and have started pursuing those other things. Maybe it's riches. Maybe it's success in jobs. Maybe it's vacations. Maybe it's trips. Maybe it's family. Whatever it is that takes us away from him. I love the story that he shares in closing. I'm going to read this to you today. I didn't want to. On page 152, Dutch shares a story from Good Morning Mary Sunshine, Chicago Tribune. And this is talking about this guy that wrote this. He's writing about when little Amanda began crawling, when his daughter began crawling. He says, this is something I'm having trouble getting used to. I will be in bed reading a book or watching TV, and will look down at the foot of my bed, and there will be Amanda's head staring back at me. Apparently, I become one of the objects that fascinate her. It's so strange. After months of having to go to her, now she is choosing to come to me. I don't know quite how to react. All I can figure is that she likes the idea of coming in and looking at me. She doesn't expect anything in return. I'll return her gaze, and in a few minutes, she decides she wants to go back. She wants to be back in the living room, and off she crawls again. I don't know if you guys can bring some music in the back, or does that mess up? Will that mess up your? Okay. If you guys can bring something up, some worship music. Listen, God is always going to come to you. He always finds out where you are. But at some point in our Christian walk, we have to make the time to come to him. Like that baby was crawling to her father. Didn't want anything. Didn't need anything. Just wanted to stare into her father's face. Sometimes God just wants us to come to him. Just to spend that time. You don't need to say anything, but just to be in his presence. Listen, so many times we treat God like a genie. You know, God, I need you to do this for me. The only times we really pray to him, right? God, you don't understand, God, this is happening at work. I need you to come through for me. God, I need you to help me with this test that I studied for. God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to do that. But I think sometimes God just wants us to come to him and say, I love you. God, I want more of you. God, I want to be in your presence. God, I want to see your face. I will tell you, church, that my wife will tell you, I'm a worker bee. I love to work. Sometimes I'll put work before anything else, and that's a problem for me that I got to work on. But I will tell you, there is nothing better, and every one of my kids did this. It was my favorite age, and Owen's at that age now, that after a hard day's work, no matter how bad the day has been, I can walk in that door, and my son's there, Daddy. Daddy. And he'll come up, he'll give me a hug. You know, sometimes God just wants us to hug him and say, Daddy. Challenge you today, church, that if you're in a place where it seems like things are crashing down around you, if you're in a place where maybe work is stressing you out, if you're in a place where maybe things just don't seem to be lining up, I challenge you, check your position. Check to make sure that you're being present. And check to make sure that your passion's still alive. Never stop pursuing God. And let other things get in the way.